Okay, great. Okay, good evening. Welcome to tonight's Shir and Shmuel Aleph. Tonight's Shir is sponsored by Gail and Herb Kraut to commemorate the Yahrzeit on Ches Kislev of Gail's grandfather, Chaim Elio Halevi Ben Dov, who was killed in the Holocaust. Hashem Yikom Domo. His neshama should have an aliyah. Thank you for your sponsorship. Okay, so we're learning Perek Yud Beis of Sefer Shmuel Aleph. And this is Shmuel's parting speech. This is his last drasha. And we learned last week, essentially, how Shmuel was taking the Bnei Yisrael to task and was a little bit upset, frustrated, and shared it with them at the end of his life here, or at the end of his reign, also at the end of his life, and essentially told them that they made a mistake by asking for a king. Wasn't the right thing to do. The timing wasn't right. It wasn't the right thing to do. And he's giving them mussar. He's giving them mussar as he's taking leave of them. So let's pick up with Pasuk Tes Zayin. Okay, so the Pasuk says, Pasuk Tes Zayin, Gam ata hisyatzvu ureu es hadavar hagodol hazeh asher Hashem oseh le'enechem. So Shmuel says, now you should all stand up here and watch this amazing thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do before your own eyes. Okay, what's he going to do? He's about to make a miracle. Shmuel is about to make a miracle. He's about to use this as a sign. Now we'll see in a minute what the purpose of this sign was. We'll see in a minute what the sign was. But the Radak says the purpose of this was that there were still people that were questioning Shaul's right to be king. We know Shaul was selected as king by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shmuel anointed him, coronated him as king. Not everyone, we saw originally, not everyone accepted Shmuel as king. Baruch Hashem, more people came on the bandwagon once he defeated Nachash and defeated the Ammonim. But still, Shmuel recognized that not everyone in Klal Yisrael had accepted Shaul as king. So he decided to make this siman, according to the Radak, he decided to make this siman that everyone would recognize and everyone would admit that Shaul is the king. Shaul was divinely appointed as the king. What exactly is the siman? And then we'll talk a little bit about the symbolism behind this sign. What exactly was the sign? Pasuk Yud Zayin, Halo Kitzir Chitim Hayom, says Shmuel. We now find ourselves in the harvest season. Kitzir Chitim, we're harvesting the wheat. Ekra El Hashem, so says Shmuel, I'm going to call out to Hashem. V'yitein Kolos Umatar. And he's going to bring rain and thunder, thunderstorms. He's going to bring thunderstorms. Ude'u ure'u, ki ra'aschem rabba, asher asisem be'enei Hashem. And you will know, you will see, and you will know that your evil is great. The evil that you did before Hashem in the eyes of Hashem is great. Lish'ol lachem melech, to ask for a king. You'll see that it's great, that your sin was great. What you did to ask for a king, terrible, terrible thing. Now, what exactly is going on? So Rashi says, Rashi understands that this sign was really part of his Musar Shmuz. So if you remember from last week, part of the Musar Shmuz that he was saying was that a king is not necessary. Until now, we've never had a king. Until now, Bnei Yisrael had Shoftim, had Nevi'im, and everything was fine. Right? Everything was fine. When you needed a salvation, when you needed a Yeshua, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent you a Navi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent you a Shofet, you did Tshuva, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped you. So we could have operated with the same system. We didn't have to now go to a different system called the system of the Melech. It wasn't necessary. So says Rashi, that just like I'm about to create a miracle with my words, with my tefillah, as the pasuk says, Ekra el Hashem. Shmuel says, I'm going to call out to Hashem with my words, with my mouth. I'm going to dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that tefillah will create a miracle. Will create a miracle to bring a thunder shower. Why was this a miracle? So the Mefarshim say, because it's not the right season. It's the time of the Ketzir Chitim. In Eretz Yisrael, we know rain is seasonal. Here it rains all year long, on and off. Right? But in Eretz Yisrael, rain is seasonal. And during the time of the harvest, it doesn't rain. So if during the time of the harvest, it doesn't rain, and now all of a sudden, Shmuel is going to come and he's going to Ekra. He's going to call out to Hashem and he's going to bring rain. That's a tremendous miracle. So says Rashi that just like I can open up my mouth and dive into Hashem and with my tefillah, I can change the season. I can bring something that's not appropriate for this season and it's going to come. So too, when it comes to battles of Klal Yisrael, when it comes to Klal Yisrael fighting their enemies, I could have done the same thing. I could have called out to Hashem, Ekra al Hashem. I could have davened, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu would bring you a Yeshua, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring a thunder shower now in the middle of the time of the Ketzir Chitim. So too, he could bring you a Yeshua from any of your enemies. So this was the miracle that he selected to show them. So Rashi is not really focusing on the miracle per se. He's focusing on the fact that he can bring a miracle, right? Any miracle, you know, through his tefillah, and that's part of the message that he's sending. Bnei Yisrael. Metzudas David says here also that there's another important message here that Bnei Yisrael might come to Shmuel and say, "Hey, listen, you know, Rabbi. Obviously, Hashem is not so opposed to it because he went along with it, right? Hashem is the one who appointed Shaul. Hashem is the one who selected Shaul. So you're giving us this whole Moser Shmuz that we did something wrong by asking for a king. Well, if we did something wrong, then why did Hashem go along with it? Why did Hashem agree to it, right? That seems to indicate that maybe it wasn't so bad. So that's what they're going to come back to Shmuel with. So says the Metzudas David, that's not a good time. That's not a good claim. Why? Because how does Hashem work? When we daven, Hashem answers our tefillos. If we daven for something, Hashem can give you your tefillos. He can answer you in the affirmative. Even if maybe it's not the right thing. We don't say Hashem doesn't just, you know, give a person only what they... If a person davens for something, Kadosh Baruch Hu can give it to them, even if it's not the right thing for them. So just the fact, says Shmuel, that Hashem went along with your request and gave you a king and appointed Shaul to be the melech, is not a proof that was the right thing to do in Hashem's eyes. Maybe it was still the wrong thing to do, but you davened for it. You asked for it. So Hashem gave it to you. That's Hashem's hanhaga in this world. In fact, the post can even use this lahalacha, not right here, but they use this concept lahalacha that a person, you have to be careful what you daven for, essentially. You have to be careful what you daven for, because when you daven for things, you might get them, right? You might get them. So you have to make sure that these things are the right things for you. In fact, when it comes to shiduchim, so of course, shiduchim is an area where a lot of people, Baruch Hashem, are davening. They're davening to find their zivuk, to find their shiduch. So the poskim say that a person should not daven for a specific person, right? Let's say, you meet a girl, you meet a guy, and you think this is the one, right? So you could daven to Hashem. I daven that this should work out, that I should marry Ploni or I should marry Plonis. The post can say you shouldn't do that. You should not daven for that. Why? Because maybe they're not right for you. You think that it's good. You think that they're a good shidduch for you. Maybe they're not a good shidduch for you. But if you daven for them, you might get it. You might end up marrying that person if you daven hard enough for them. Right? And meanwhile, it might not be the right shidduch for you. So the post can say, instead of davening for something specific, you should daven that Hashem should enable you to marry the right person. If it's this person, great. If it's a different person, also good. Right? But don't daven for someone specific. Daven that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should enable you to marry the right person. And in fact, in Halacha, when we say, for example, during the 9 days, a person's allowed to get engaged. The Halacha is you're even allowed to get engaged on Tisha B'Av. Right? Even though, of course, you're not getting married during the 3 weeks. But you're allowed to even get engaged on Tisha B'Av. Why? So the halacha is Shema Yikadmenu Acher. Maybe someone else is going to hop in, right? You know, you're dating the girl. Someone's going to, you know, going to whisk her away, and you're going to lose out. So the poskim say, we don't mean someone's going to whisk her away or pull up in the car and grab her, right? We're worried that maybe shema yikadmenu acher b'tfila, that maybe someone's going to daven for her. You're going out with this girl, you want to marry her, and someone else is going to come along and daven to marry this girl, and Hashem's going to listen to them, and they're going to end up marrying the girl, and you're going to lose out. So therefore, if you have a chance, get engaged, even on Tisha B'Av, right? So that's but you see the power of davening for something specific. So says the that's the Mitzudas David says, that the fact that Hashem went along with your request is not a proof. It doesn't prove anything. It doesn't mean he's happy about it. It means you asked for it. If you ask things from Hashem, you can get them, even if they're not the right thing. So don't think just because Hashem gave you the king, therefore he gave you Shaul, therefore he's okay with what you're doing. He's not okay with it. He's not happy with it. Now, what's the the Alshich builds on this, and he says that the people's claim is even stronger. It's not just that Hashem granted us a king, but Hashem went along with it. Number one, also the people can come and say, hey, forget about the fact that Hashem went along with it. We know having a king is one of the three mitzvahs that were commanded upon entering Eretz Yisrael, right? We're supposed to have a king, build the Beis HaMikdash. That's one of the three mitzvahs, having a king. So what do you, Shmuel, you're giving us this whole shmooze that we're doing something wrong. You're giving us Musar that we're doing something wrong. Meanwhile, it's a mitzvah in the Torah to have a king, right? Not only that, but we know Hashem went along with it because Hashem said, right? Remember, they couldn't find Shaul. Shaul was hiding in the coat room, right? Because he was too embarrassed. He was humble. And who was the one who said he's Nechba El HaKelim? That was Hashem. So Hashem pointed out that he was Nechba El HaKelim. That means Hashem agreed and Hashem went along with this. Shmuel also is not selecting Shaul on his own. He's selecting Shaul because that's who Hashem wanted. So Hashem went along with all these things. So says the Alshich, in a little bit of a different vein than the Mitzudas David. It's true. It's true that Hashem wants you to have a king. But the timing is wrong. The timing is wrong. You're supposed to wait. You're supposed to wait until Hashem commands you to do it. You're not supposed to go ahead and take the initiative and ask. You're supposed to wait. When Hashem commands you that it's the right time to have a king, then it's the right time. But you're jumping the gun. You're going too fast. Now it's right. Having a king is a good thing. Be'etzem, inherently it's a good thing. But the timing is wrong. It's not, now's not the right time. And this, the point is, he's supposed to wait for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Wait for the message, right? This whole time, and this leads us to the next point, because the Malbim here says that, you know, the proof that this is not the right time is because a king operates within the realm of nature, right? The king operates within the realm of nature. You're a nation, and you want to go about things in the normal way, you have a king. That's what you have. You have a king, and the king guides you in the right way, and he takes you to battle, and he defeats your enemies. But that's all within the system of nature. Says the Malbim, B'nai Yisrael were not working with the system of nature right now. B'nai Yisrael at this time in Jewish history, they were working supernaturally. Kadosh Baruch Hu was taking care of them, right? Yeah, there were some elements of nature. Of course, there always are some elements of nature. But in the end, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's guiding them. It's supernatural. So says the Malbim, that's what proves that it's not the right time for a king. Later, at another time, when things are operating in the natural realm, then it'll be appropriate to have a king. But right now, when we're still operating in the supernatural, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is literally helping you, you know, conquer Eretz Yisrael and defeat your enemies, this is not the right time for a king. This is not the right time for a king.
Correct.
And that exact point is made by the Malbim also. In the following pasuk, the Malbim also makes that exact point. One second. Yeah, right. So says the Malbim in the very next pasuk. He says that after I die, Shmuel says, you know, right now I'm a Navi. I'm running the show here. I'm a Navi. Obviously, we're not working within the realm of nature. But once I die, once the Navi dies, and now maybe Klal Yisrael is going to transfer, you know, Klal Yisrael is going to transition into a period of nature, then is the right time to ask for a king. But not right now. Exactly your point. That's the point that the Malbim makes in the next pasuk. Very good. Now, many of the Mefarshim here, Rashi, the Malbim, the Alshich, all say a similar thing in terms of the symbolism of the rain. Why specifically the rain? He could have brought any miracle. Right? There are many miracles that different Nevi'im and others did throughout history. Right? Moshe threw down the staff and it turned into a snake. Elio had the fire come down from heaven and consume the korban. So why did Shmuel specifically choose the rain? So all of these Mefarshim essentially say the same idea, that rain is a bracha in the right time. Rain is a bracha at the right time. But when rain comes at the wrong time, it's a klala. It's a klala. So rain, when it comes and it's helping your produce grow, that's great. But now during the time of the harvest, no produce is growing now. You're harvesting the wheat, right? Now the rain is going to ruin the wheat that you've already harvested. So now the rain is a simon klala. So it's all about the timing. A melech can be a bracha. A melech can be something very positive. A melech can be something that helps Klal Yisrael at the right time, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it, when you're operating within the system of nature, as the Malbim says, right? But now is not the right time. Now is not the right time. In the Malbim's world, right, you're operating still with the supernatural. It's not the right time for a king. According to the other Mefarshim, Hashem didn't indicate that it's the right time for a king yet. And says the Alshech, here you have no patience. You have no patience to wait for Hashem's signal that it's time for this mitzvah, that it's time for a king. Instead, you're rushing into it. That shows disgust with Hashem and the way that he's dealing with you. It doesn't show an embrace of Hashem. It shows a disgust of Hashem. And not only that, but the Mefarshim say that it also shows, it's a slap in the face to Shmuel. Shmuel was the leader. He was the Navi. And as Shmuel keeps telling them, I could have won all these wars for you. Just like I brought rain, right? Not in the improper season. I made a miracle just by Ekra El Hashem. I could have done the same thing when it comes to, you know, winning the battles and defeating the enemies. I could have done the same thing. So it's a slap in the face to Shmuel. So what happens? Pasuk Yud Ches. Vayikra Shmuel El Hashem. Shmuel calls out to Hashem. Vayiten Hashem Kolo Sumatar Bayom Ahu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings a thunderstorm, right? Thunder and rain on that day. Vayira Kol Ha'am Me'od Es Hashem V'yesh Shmuel. So the people feared Hashem and they feared Shmuel. Says the Metzudas David, what do you mean they feared both? Because they realized that they had slapped Hashem in the face by asking for a king at the wrong time, by not having the patience to wait for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's signal when it was the right time. And they also slapped Shmuel in the face by looking for another leader while he was their leader. And that's why right now they were struck with fear, both fear of Hashem and fear of Shmuel. Not fear that Shmuel was going to do anything to them, but just a fear that they had wronged Shmuel, a fear that they had turned their back, that they had slapped Shmuel in the face. The Rambam, I saw this Rambam quoted in the Igeres Tchias HaMeisim, which is interesting. And the Rambam says, in that Igeres, he talks about different types of miracles. So he says, you know, throughout Tanakh, we read about many different types of miracles. Some miracles, says the Rambam, are completely supernatural. So the example we gave before, Moshe took the staff and he threw it down and it became a snake. That's 100% supernatural. That cannot happen in the realm of nature, right? The ground opening up and swallowing Korach, right? It's not a natural thing. I know we have earthquakes these days, but that wasn't an earthquake. It was a totally supernatural event. Kriyas Yamsuf, completely supernatural, right? We don't find anything like that in today's world. But says the Rambam that there are some miracles that are seemingly natural. So for example, rain, a thunder shower, is natural. That's not a supernatural miracle. That's a natural thing. So what made this miraculous, says the Rambam? The Rambam discusses this miracle in Igeres Tchias HaMeisim. Right? What made this miraculous? What made this miraculous was not the actual miracle itself. The miracle itself was normal, a thunder shower. What made it miraculous was the fact that it came exactly when Shmuel declared it. That was the miracle. The miracle was the timing, right? When Shmuel said, Ekra al Hashem, when he called out to Hashem and said, Hashem, bring a thunder shower. And again, keep in mind, it was the wrong season. So it wasn't even the rainy season. And boom, the clouds open up and you have a thunder shower right then and there. Says the Rambam, that was the miracle. The miracle was the timing. He doesn't say this, but it's interesting because again, according to many of the Mefarshim, what was wrong with this request was the timing. It's not that the request for a king was improper, inappropriate. That could have been appropriate. But the problem was the timing. So maybe that's why specifically Hashem brought a miracle where the miracle was the timing. The miracle wasn't the miracle itself. A thunder shower is not miraculous. What's miraculous is the fact that Shmuel declared it. Shmuel proclaimed it. Ekra al Hashem. Boom, a thunder shower. The timing was miraculous. So says Hashem, you see, it's all about the timing. It's all about the timing. Your request, the timing was off. Not that the request itself was a problem, but the timing was off.
Maybe that's why the pasuk says Ma'od. They feared him very much. Because it happened then, right there and then. Otherwise, we could say the word Ma'od.
Very nice. I like it.
The word Ma'od.
Very nice.
But because he did it that day, Ma'od.
Then and there, right. Very good. Good. Okay, pasuk yutes. Vayomru chol ha'am el Shmuel. So the entire nation turns to Shmuel and they say, "Hispalel biyad avodecha el Hashem Elokecha, the al namus. Please, Shmuel, daven for us to Hashem our God, to Hashem your God, so we shouldn't die." They were shocked. They were scared. Farshim say they were scared. Imagine, middle of the summer, and all of a sudden, it never rains, and all of a sudden, a thunder shower out in the middle of nowhere. They're petrified, right? The seasons are all now out of whack. Shmuel's, you know, making these crazy miracles. They're scared. Daven that we shouldn't die. Ki asafnu al kol chatoseinu ra'a lishol lanu melech. Because we added a sin to all of our other sins, right? As the Al-Sheikh says, you know, this sin alone maybe is not a reason to die for this sin, you know, but all the other sins that we have, and we added this one to the scales, that might tip it in the favor that we're really chayev misa. Please daven to Hashem that we should not die. The Al-Sheikh also points out that what language does the pasuk use? Lishol lanu melech. Why lanu? Leave out lanu. Just say lishol melech. Right? So why does it say lanu? So says the Al-Sheikh that the word lanu hints to the fact that the request for a king was really for them. It wasn't for the mitzvah. It's true there's a mitzvah to have a king. It's true that Hashem says when you come into Eretz Yisrael, you're supposed to have a king. But that's when you're doing it for Hashem. That's when you're doing it because it's a mitzvah, because Hashem wants you to. But here, that wasn't the request. The request was not that Bnei Yisrael wanted to fulfill the mitzvah, and that's why they did it. No, the request was, we want a king for our purposes, not for Hashem, not for the mitzvah. We want a king for our purposes because we want to be like all the other nations, because we don't want to work with Hashem in his supernatural world. We want a natural system, whatever the case was. But that's why lanu, it's for us. He also says that's why they say Ad avodecha, because they were saying, Shmuel, please be mochalas. We slapped you in the face also. Recognize we're your servants. We're avodecha. Don't be upset at us. We need to ask mechila from you, and we need to ask mechila from Hashem. Pasuk chaf. Vayomer Shmuel el ha'om al tira'u. So Shmuel says to the nation, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Atem asisem es kol hara hazos. It's true. What you did was terrible. It's true what you did was terrible to ask for a king. Ach, al tasuru me'acharei Hashem, v'avartem es Hashem b'chol levavchem. But there's a very simple fix, says Shmuel. You did something wrong. There's a very simple fix. Number one, don't ever stray again from behind Hashem. Always follow Hashem. And number two, serve Hashem with all of your heart. Serve Hashem with all of your heart. So here, says the Malbim, you know, had Hashem done something wrong to you for no reason whatsoever, that's a reason to be scared. So then you should fear. Oh my gosh, you know, there's no Hashem is just mean and he's angry with us for no reason. But if there was a cause, if there was a reason for Hashem's anger, if there's a reason for the fact that he brought this scary miracle right now, this thunder shower in the middle of the summer, which petrified everyone, if there was a reason for it, it's because of your sin, it's because of your hate. It's because you asked for a king at the inappropriate time. So Shmuel says, there's a great fix for this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu only punishes when you do something wrong. if you do tshuva and you follow Hashem, then he's going to treat you great, right? So Shmuel is saying, it's true you did something wrong, but now you have nothing to worry about. All you have to do is do tshuva and follow Hashem. The beauty, you see, like the beauty of the you know, the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacts with us, Shmuel is saying there's nothing to be afraid of. Just change. Change what you're doing. Change the way you're acting, right? Don't rebel against Hashem, but follow Hashem. If you follow, you rebel against Hashem, Hashem will punish you. You follow Hashem, Hashem will be happy with you. So there's nothing to be afraid of. It's all in our hands. It's all in our hands, how we act and how we interact with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Metzudas David said also, you can't take it back. Atam asisim es hara hazos. Right? You can't go back in history and change events that happened already. But going forward, you can do tshuva, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will forgive you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will forgive you from now and on. Pasuk Chaf Aleph. And he says, be careful, be very careful, right? Be very careful not to follow the vanity, the worthless. What's he referring to? Avodah Zarah, right? Be careful. Stick to Hashem. Worship Hashem. Don't start going after the Avodah Zarah. And again, we know in the times of the Shoftim, this was constantly the cycle, right? Where B'nai Yisrael worshipped Avodah Zarah and then were punished. You know, with a nation that oppressed them, and then they got a shofet, they did tshuva, then they saved them, right? So this was a cycle. So Shmuel is saying, don't slip back into that pattern. Don't go back to the avodah zarah, the tohu, the worthlessness, the nothingness. Don't leave Hashem. Velo yatzilu ki tohu hema, says Shmuel, they're not going to help you. You're going to turn to these idols. You're going to turn to this avodah zarah. They're not going to help you. They're tohu. They're nothing. The Malbim says, they're not even like a segula. You know, sometimes people like a segula. You have a little red bendel, you have a little kameya, you have something, you feel like it's like a charm, a good luck charm, a segula. Says the Malbim, this is not, these avodah zarahs are worthless, not even a segula, right? It's garnished, nothing. It's not going to help you at all. So be careful. So make sure you follow Hashem. Pasuk Chav Beis, and by the way, this pasuk we just said a few minutes ago, ki lo yitosh Hashem es amo ba'avur shemo agadol. Hashem will never abandon his nation because of his great name. Ki hoil Hashem la'asos eschem lo le'am. So we say this in Baruch Hashem Le'olam. This is one of the psukim that we say in Baruch Hashem Le'olam each and every night in Mariv. Comes from right here. Shmuel Aleph. Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Chaf Beis. So what's this pasuk saying? We say it every night, right? But what's it saying? Ki lo yitosh Hashem eschem. Hashem will not forsake you. Shmuel's trying to comfort the people now. He gave them Musar. Then he brought a miracle that scared the daylights out of them. They got scared. And they come to Shmuel crying, please daven for us. We're scared. We're afraid. Right? Shmuel says, okay, relax. Number one, do tshuva. Follow Hashem. Hashem will be good to you. Right? That's number one. Number two, Hashem said that he'll never forsake us. He's never going to forsake Klal Yisrael. Ki lo yitosh Hashem esamo. Hashem will never forsake Klal Yisrael. Why? Ba'avur Shemo Agadol. So all the Mefarshim say, what's Ba'avur Shemo Agadol? Because of Hashem's great name. Hashem has become associated with B'nai Yisrael. B'nai Yisrael, we're God's people, right? We're the people, we're the chosen people. Everybody knows we're the chosen people. We're God's people. So what's going to happen if HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chas V'Shalom, forsakes the Jewish people and allows them to be destroyed? How does that look for him? What are people going to say? Ah, my Yomru, right? People are going to say, ah, God, the Jews, God, ah, he's weak, he's shvach, he can't do it. He can't save them. He's not strong enough to defeat this nation or that nation or the other nation. It'll be a disgrace for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ba'avur Shemo Agadol. So therefore, by definition, he can't let the nations of the world destroy us. What a beautiful promise, right? Ki lo yitosh, he can't let. It's impossible. Well, that was specifically with the flood, though. You won't destroy with the flood, but here, yeah. But here it's only for B'nai Yisrael. And the Radak here quotes the pasuk in this actually comes up in two places in Tanakh. The more famous one is the one in Parsha Shlach, right? Parsha Shlach. When the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to destroy B'nai Yisrael, they're complaining about Eretz Yisrael, they don't want to go in. Pasuk says, right, You know, Hashem wants to destroy them. So Moshe says to Hashem, you can't do it. Why? Because if you wipe out this people, Ki Ish Echad, Perek Yudal and Pasuk Tesvav in Bamidbar, in Parsha Shlach, V'omru HaGoyim Asher Shom L'Shim HaCholim, well, what are people going to say? Mibilta Yecholes Hashem, L'Havi Yisam Azeh La'aretz, Asher Nishba'a Lohem, V'Yishchatim Bamidbar. People will say, he can't do it. Right? The Jews got, he's Shvach, he's weak, he can't do it. Not going to happen. And Yoshua and Perek Zion also, we had a very similar Pasuk, right? Yoshua comes to Hashem and he says, how can you allow these nations to defeat Bnei Yisrael? What's that going to do to your great name? What are people going to say? What are people going to think? Right? So don't be afraid. You can't be afraid. Hashem is never going to destroy the Jewish people. Hashem will never destroy the Jewish people. Oh, this language at the end, ki ho'il Hashem la'asos etzchem lo la'ab. So the question is, what does the word ho'il mean? Ki ho'il Hashem la'asos. Normally we assume ho'il in modern Hebrew means since, right? But here it doesn't make sense to say because since Hashem, you know, it doesn't really read. So it says Rashi that the language of ho'il here is the language of a shavua, that Hashem swore, Hashem promised to make us his nation. Ki ho'il Hashem la'asos etzchem lo la'ab, that Hashem swore to make us his nation. So once he swore to make us his nation, he's not going to go back on it. He's not going to renege. He's not going to chas v'shalom allow Klal Yisrael to be destroyed. The Rabbeinu Bachya actually quotes this pasuk in Parshas Nitzavim when the pasuk says la'avrucha b'vris Hashem elokecha uve'Allah so. What's that word uve'Allah so? So says Rabbeinu Bachya uve'Allah so is the language of a shavua. That Hashem took a shavua that he's going to have a bris between us and him. And the Rabbeinu Bachya says, how do I know, where do I see a proof that the word uva Allah so in Parshas Nitzavim means a shavua? Right here in Shmuel, ki ho'il Hashem la'asos haschem lo la'am. That's the language of a shavua. And he says, even though many of the Mefarshim understand that it means ratzon, it means Hashem wants to make them a nation, he says, nah, the real pshat is certainly that Hashem swore to make them a nation. So Hashem is not going to forsake us. Hashem is never going to destroy us. What a beautiful pasuk. We say it every night in Baruch Hashem Le'olam, right? Ki lo yitosh Hashem amo, HaKadosh Baruch will never ever forsake and destroy the Jewish people or allow us to be destroyed. Pasuk Chav Gimel, and says Shmuel, not only should you not be nervous if you do tshuva and you follow Hashem, and also because Hashem, he swore that he's going to make you his nation, he'll never destroy you. Pasuk Chav Gimel, Gam anochi chalila limech atol Hashem. Shmuel says also, I can't sin. I'm not going to sin against Hashem. Mechadol lihispalel ba'adchem. By not davening for you. You asked me to daven for you. Of course I'm going to daven for you, says Shmuel. Of course I'm going to daven for you. Not davening for you, I would be committing a sin. V'horesi eschem b'derech hatova v'hayishar. Not only am I going to daven for you, but I'm going to continue to guide you in the right way, in the straight way, in the proper path. Rashi says that if you do your part and you do tshuva, so I have to do my part and I'll daven for you. It's very interesting. Rashi almost implies that if Bnei Yisrael would not do their part, then maybe Shmuel would not have to daven for them. You know, Rashi says, he understands this pasuk. Shmuel is saying, if you do your part, I got to do my part. Right? The implication seems to be, if you don't do your part, then maybe I don't have to daven for you. Which reminded me of the discussion we had a couple of Shabbosos ago about if someone who is not careful about the health precautions, and then Rachmana Litzlam, they get sick, you have to daven for them. Right? If they're not doing their part, you have to daven for them. That was a whole interesting discussion we had. So in the end of the day, we said, you should daven for them. But this pasuk Shmuel seems to be saying, listen, if you do your part, you do tshuva, you follow Hashem, you're doing what you got to do, I'm going to do what I have to do. My job is to daven for you. That's what I'm going to do. And it says to Mitzudas David, that just like Hashem will forgive you, if you do tshuva and you follow him, Hashem will forgive you. I'm also going to forgive you. Because remember, they slapped Hashem in the face and they slapped Shmuel in the face also. So Shmuel says, I'm going to do it. Don't worry. I'm going to forgive you 100%. I'm going to forgive you 100%. Rabbeinu Bachya here also, not here, but Rabbeinu Bachya in Bamidbar, I saw a couple of interesting Rabbeinu Bachyas quoted that discussed this parak. So Rabbeinu Bachya says that you see from this pasuk that a leader of a generation has a special responsibility to daven for the people of that generation. leader of the generation has a special responsibility to daven for the people of that generation. And if he does not, he's called a sinner. He's sinning. He's doing something wrong. Why? Because Shmuel says, Chalila li mechato la Hashem, mechadol leispalo ba'adchem. If I wouldn't daven for you, I would be sinning. Right? I would be sinning. I'd be doing something terrible. Says Rabbeinu Bachya, that's because Shmuel is the leader of the generation. He has to daven. And he explains, that's why for those of you that have learned Maseches Makos, so you know that when a person that kills Beshogeg, he has to go into Golos. For how long? Until the Kohen Gadol dies. Forget Makos, it's Psukim in the Torah, right? Until the Kohen Gadol dies. Now the Gemara in Makos says, why until the Kohen Gadol dies? Because the Kohen Gadol should have davened harder, that this chait should not have happened, that a Ritzich HaBeshogeg should not have happened. The Kohen Gadol should have davened harder. So if it happened on his watch, so to speak, that's a chisaron in his tefillah. That means the Kohen Gadol is not davening properly. Right? So you see, says Rabbeinu Bachya, you see the extra responsibility of a leader to daven for his flock, to daven for his generation. Right? It reminds me also of the story. There's a story that has become well-known and somewhat famous with Rabbi Aaron Leib Steinman, that a certain principal came to him to talk about a very difficult student. And he says, we have this student, and we're about to throw him out of the yeshiva. So Rabbi Aaron Leib Steinman said, okay, what'd the kid do? So whatever it was pretty bad. So Rabbi Aaron Leib said, okay, you know, Rabbi Aaron Leib said, what's his name? So the principal told him his name. He said, no, what's his mother's name? Right, Reuven ben Sarah. So the principal says, I have no idea what his mother's name is. I don't know his mother's name. I have to look it up in the files to see what his mother's name is. So Rabbi Aaron Leib looks at him and he says, you haven't been davening for this kid? He said, how could you throw him out of yeshiva without davening for him? Right? Kid has problems. The kid is struggling. Daven for him. Okay, if the davening is not working, you know, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu is not answering you and the kid still has problems, then we'll talk. Maybe he needs to find a different yeshiva. But you got to daven for him first. He was like incredulous. How could the principal not daven for this kid? Right? So why? You're a leader. You're in charge. You're running a yeshiva. You're in charge. You got to daven for your constituents. You have to daven for your people. Pasuk Chav Dalin. Ach, says Shmuel, Yiru Es Hashem. You have to fear Hashem. Va'avadatem oso be'emes b'chol levavchem. And you have to serve him with truth, with all of your heart. Ki re'u eis asher higdili machem. See how he was, as the Radak says, see how he was great with you. See all the goodness and the kindness that he showered upon you. The Radak says maybe also the higdil is the great nace that took place of this thunder shower in the middle of the summer. That was also a great nace. So maybe that's the higdil that we're referring to. Here he's saying Yiru Es Hashem, right? You should fear Hashem, meaning this is not, you know, even though he just said don't be afraid, right? But Shmuel is saying don't be afraid of Hashem, because everything Hashem does for you and to you depends on your own actions. So Yiru Es Hashem means be in awe of Hashem. Recognize that he's paying attention to everything that you do. Recognize that he's paying attention to all of your actions. Fear Hashem in that way, and then everything will be fine. Says the Metzudas David, and then also my tefillos will work. You know, I just said I'm going to daven for you, but my tefillos are not going to do anything if you don't do tshuva, if you don't have the proper recognition and the proper Yiras Hashem. Only then will my tefillos work. Only then will my tefillos be effective. And then finally, Pasuk Chafei, V'im Hareya Tareyu Gamatem, Gamal Kechem Tisafu. Right? So if you do things wrong, if you act in an evil way, if you don't follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you don't have Yiras Hashem, you don't do what's proper, you don't do what's right, you'll be punished. Not only will you be punished, but your king will also be punished. And says the Malbim, it goes both ways. If you follow Hashem, the king won't be able to hurt you. If you remember a couple of prakim ago, right, Shmuel warned the people, listen, you know, kings also can be ruthless sometimes. Kings also can be authoritarian sometimes. Says the Malbim, no. If you follow Hashem, the king can't hurt you. If you don't follow Hashem, though, you and the king will both be punished. You and the king will both die. So there's a very simple equation. You have a king now, right? Maybe you asked inappropriately. You asked at the wrong time. Okay, fine. But Lamaisa, you have a king now. But now that you have a king, you have to act in the right way. You have to do tshuva. You have to follow Hashem. You have to act in the right way. If you do that, everything will be okay. If you don't do that, things won't be good. But if you do that, everything will be okay. Okay, Imritz Hashem, we'll stop. We're going to stop here. And Imritz Hashem will pick up next week with the with Perek Yud Gimel and the story of Shaul and his next battle with the enemies of Klal Yisrael, with the Plishtim.
It sounds like Shaul is stepping down. Listen.